welcome to episode 180 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most.
The travel!
Heidi, just leave it.
We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear about more about, unless it's Pittsburgh. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Sandy, Donna, and Laura. Vacations help us relax and unwind. The airplane ride to paradise, however, can sometimes have the complete opposite effect. So we thought it might be helpful, maybe even a little therapeutic, if we took a closer look at some of the ways we can make flying a little more enjoyable. So let's get started. I'm just going to call Lindsay out right now because she wrote the show notes for this and she has like 100 bullet points. So we're going to try to keep this to a reasonable length and try not to rant too much while you're jogging on your treadmill or whatever. But we have issues. So Lindsay, why don't you start? What's the one thing on this list of a million things that you really want to make sure we talk about tonight?
It's gotta be the man spreading.
Really?
It really, and I should say, because it's women can do it too, so all inclusive here, people spreading, taking up more than your allotted amount of leg room in the seat. So basically it's sitting with your knees as far apart as you can get them.
Yes.
I don't really have issues with it. I mean, I can't remember somebody doing that to me, though.
Oh, you've never had anyone do that
to you? I can't believe you've never had anybody do that to you. Yeah,
you're I am always trying to compact myself because I feel like I don't want to spread over into someone else's space.
So maybe you're giving the man spreader room enough that you don't notice.
No, I really don't. Yeah.
I'm always so worried that I'm not man spreading with just my sizes.
Just spread out. Yeah, exactly. That's how it goes.
Yes.
I did have this one woman one time who sat, like, Indian style the whole flight from, like, L.A. to Raleigh. It was amazing.
Her knees must have been up in your stuff then.
She was pretty little, and she was older. She was an Asian woman. I mean, it amazed me that she could sit like that for that long. I haven't been able to do that since kindergarten.
I had someone that was so far in my seat, I couldn't put my tray table down.
I would have put my tray table down. I would have put that thing down hard. Oops. It's the perfect weapon. The perfect weapon. And, you know, it's not even to me.
Don't ever fly with any of the people in my life.
So speaking of tray tables as weapons, where do we all land on the whole reclining your seat if you're in economy? Do you guys do that polite thing where you look over the seat to see if someone's got a drink or a laptop before you... I never do. I never recline because I always feel like I don't want to crush somebody.
I do, but I do it before the drinks are even served, so you're all set and ready.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. And it's a golden rule thing for me. It's a treat others as you would like to be treated. I'm like, I don't like it when people recline onto my lap, so I don't recline onto theirs. And sometimes
honestly,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't even get bothered when people recline in front of me, though, because I don't know. I don't do it, but I don't get bothered by it. It doesn't
bother me. It only bothers me when I have a drink or if I have something on. Like, I've been reading a book and had the book crushed.
Yeah.
Like, really? Get the book.
I've almost lost a laptop because the screen would have been... I mean, if I hadn't been just a little bit fast enough... I mean, if I had been a little bit slower, I would have lost a laptop.
Oh.
Because the...
Yeah, I have really long legs, and so that extra, like, inch or two really does make a difference.
Yeah. Well, maybe I should start doing it then.
No, I...
Very fair. Very fair, but... You know, I'm sure you're very polite with the way you do it, but some people do slam it back.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, it's kind of polite to give a little look behind you.
And go slowly, ease it back.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're backing up a car.
Yeah. No sound effects needed.
Parking lot etiquette here, people. Yeah.
So there's one on here that just jumped out at me, which is actually not on the plane. It's before the plane, which is skipping the security line. And actually... Lines in general are a pet peeve of mine. So the first is the security line. I get that you're late. I get that things happen, but I got there on time and I really hate when people ask to get in front of me. That's not to say I won't let them, but it irks the bejesus out of me. And then, the gate lines, you know, the not standing in front of group one when you're in group six, right, or on Southwest getting up when you're in group C and lining up with group A, and then shooting me a dirty look when I stand in front of you because I'm actually in group A, you know, that.
Or this is something that has jumped out to me since I've had medical issues in the past couple of years where I've had to pre-board because of a boot. And people who block the pre-board entrance and are like in group A, and they're not letting the people in the wheelchair, they're not letting them push the wheelchair to the plane. It's like the worst people.
That thing about security, Elizabeth, it's like, what's that saying? Your lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine.
Yes, exactly. And the absolute freaking out, well, my plane leaves in 30 minutes. Why aren't you letting me through? Well, because you didn't get here. I mean, unless you tell me you had a flat tire, but generally it's because you waited until the last minute. And we all know Sandy feels very passionately about making sure that...
Well, but having said that, I would probably let someone in front of me because I have plenty of time. Yeah. Because I got there early.
I'm such a pacifist that I would let someone cut me, but in my head I'd be like, let me see your boarding pass.
Yes, that's me. That's me. I'm like, sure, you can get in front of me. Sure.
Well, you know, so last time I was coming back from Orlando, I have TSA pre-check, and it was late at night, and the pre-check line was closed, and I had to go through the regular line. That annoyed the heck out of me, because I don't have my stuff set up.
Oh, you have your privilege.
Well, you know, you're supposed to have all your liquids in this little baggie, and, you know, you would probably wear certain shoes if you thought you were going to take them off, that kind of thing. No, that's
the pre-check. Yeah,
let's address that for a minute. Raise your hand if you have not flown in the last 30 years and know absolutely nothing about taking your shoes off.
There's a lot of people out there that just don't know. Yeah. So.
No, I'm not buying. I think there's some people who don't know. And I think there's some people who just don't, who are like checked out for one reason or another. Maybe they had,
they forget
the traffic was bad. Maybe something else is going on. But there's nobody in this century that... It's flying that doesn't know. And I heard somebody talk recently. One of my clients was telling me a story about how the somebody at TSA was pretty much assaulting the TSA person because they were like, I can't believe I have to take this and do this. And these people are working one of the most unimaginably difficult jobs, I think. Like, I don't think I could do that job.
Well, here's the golden rule. You know,
there's some airports that really know how to do it well. When I had babies, and I was having to go through the security line with strollers and all that, and I felt bad for the people behind me because I knew I was going to take forever. But some airports actually have a family line, and it makes so much sense because they know it's going to take us forever to get through the line.
They have the frequent travelers line, and that's...
I just think the golden rule is don't mess with the TSA.
Yeah.
You need to be respectful.
Well, honestly, that's the first way to get a big X on your forehead am I going to randomly screen?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like taking off my shoes and doing all that stuff, but I did it. You know, I was like, oh, sucks. Now I know why I paid all that money for Global Entry.
I wish there were tags on clothes, though, that would tell you this is not good for airport security. Because I if you see me fly, I wear one of like two outfits now because I have to make sure I'm wearing the right bra because some of my bras are underwire that sets off. It's more sensitive. And I actually just wore a pair of boots when I went to New York this last time that on my way to New York gave me no problem. On the way back, it set off the booper and I had to
Owen got stuck going through.
My new laptop bag. It's one of those that opens out wide and it's supposed to be able to go through no problem. And it did going there, but on the way back...
So let's talk about like putting stuff in your bins on the belt. I think a lot of people probably aren't even aware of the fact that just putting your stuff in the bin on the metal rollers and walking away is not your job has not ended.
You're not done yet.
Your task.
Yeah, I've shoved many a person's luggage through.
Move on their own. You need to get your bag onto the part of the belt that actually moves. And then there's this rule where we're not supposed to touch anybody else's luggage. But every single time, and I mean every time, it's not an exaggeration, every time I fly, I find myself pushing somebody else's bins onto the belt so that we can move.
And then I play the maid at the end where everybody takes their stuff and walks away and I'm stacking bins because nobody else knows how to do it.
Or you end up with someone's water bottle because they're
Well, that's a whole other issue. That's a don't travel with Sandy issue.
Like, what is this?
Yeah. Who did this? Who left all this? What do I look like? Makes me crazy. It's so disrespectful because, I mean, these guys are, they're having to watch all your stuff go through the x-ray machine, which has got to be one of the most boring things, but is very essential to our safety, or at least an essential step in our safety. And then you're making them stack bins, or you're making the poor slob who was behind you in the security line who now can't get her purse because there's so many bins in the way that she is forced to actually...
And then now you've slowed everything down because when you run out of, when they run out of the bins and they have to bring them to the front.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. I do love the airports that have instituted the automated bin things where you basically stand there and you load up a bin, push it onto the belt, load up the next bin, push, they like feed them constantly. And at the end of the belt, there's a little drop bucket. Yeah. They had it at Newark and they have it in Amsterdam as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Although I do have a friend who complained about the exact same thing. She feels it's terrible because she's not used to it.
So here's a tip. If you do have like global entry or TSA pre-check and you're not used to doing that kind of security stuff anymore, remember if you go out of the country, you're going to have to do it again coming back in because like the airport in Cancun is going to make you take out your liquids and that kind of thing. So it's still good to shove a couple like baggies in your bag to make sure you have that for when you come back through.
Yeah, one of the hard lessons that I learned when I took my passport to New Orleans for the connection, and on the way back I put it in the bin, except I don't know in the way, and it fell out of the bin.
Ooh.
And I got home with no passport. And I looked everything apart looking for it. And I knew when I got down to the gate that I didn't have my passport. And I went back and they told me it wasn't there. It hadn't found it. I thought, okay, you know, it's early in the morning. It's like 5:30 in the morning. You know, it's got to be in my big bag. If they don't have it, it's got to be in my big bag. Long story short, it had fallen out of the little breaking and was stuck like in the wheels inside the machine.
And
the thing that I found out is that every airport not only has a lost and found, they have a TSA lost and found.
Yep.
And that's where my passport was a TSA lost and found.
I think that.
So now I've learned to put my passport in my shoe.
Yeah, I think the bins actually get overused too. You don't have to put everything in the bins. If you have a bag, you can put it on the belt. You don't have to use the bins for every piece of clothing or whatever that you have.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that to an extent, but like I've been at, you know, one of the TSAs where they're so tired of people not, you know, returning the bins or not getting, so they tell you to put everything on the belt. And if you have a white jacket or a nice purse or something, put it on the bin and you're like, or I always, I don't travel with them anymore, but there's one time I caught myself with a bag that had more straps than it needed to have. And it got caught at the end. Just being on the bin.
Yeah.
Just being on the ground and not on the bin.
Yeah. You have to turn them upside down so that the straps are up.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we move ahead to the plane again? We started talking about the plane and then we left.
What's this asking strangers to watch your stuff? Does that happen to you, Lindsay?
Yes, it happened. Well, I've had both happen. I've had a stranger ask me to watch her stuff, and then I've had a stranger try and offer to watch my puppy, if you remember. That wasn't going to happen.
That's different. So. Yeah. That is definitely different.
Do not ask strangers to watch your stuff.
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility. Yeah. We live in such a crazy time that this is not the 1930s. I can't, you know, there's nothing in your bag, but I don't need that responsibility.
Well, that reminds me of the time we were in Tampa and we were flying to the Bahamas and there was that one woman there who didn't speak English, Lindsay, that kept asking to borrow our phones. And I was like, you need to go find a payphone. I did not feel comfortable. Yeah, Lindsay's like, I gave her my phone.
I feel like she didn't walk off with that.
Well, she was really sad. She was crying. We didn't know why. You know, we didn't know what flight she was getting on. It was really sad, actually. But Lindsay gave her phone. I did not. I do not know what you're saying.
I might complain about all this stuff, but I'm the first to say, oh, it's okay. Yeah. You can have my seat. You can tell me. Get the gun. Here's my phone.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what is going on? You know? And you know, because we got there 3 hours early, we had to, like, have her sit beside, because she was sitting right beside Lindsay in this totally empty airport. I was like, what the heck?
I know, she was like, I'm an easy target, I guess. Yeah.
On the plane, talking about personal space
there, when you're sitting right next to somebody you don't have to be. I have been on a Southwest flight where you can pick your own seat anywhere in the entire airplane as long as it is open and empty. And I have been in the very back row, which is smaller than the rest of the rows because the plane narrows as it goes back. And I like to play that seat lottery where if I sit on the aisle seat on the back row, odds are if there's empty seats on the plane, they might end up being next to me and I get a whole row of myself. But now I just outed that and everybody.
Yeah, all 10 people.
So, but I've been on this plane in this back row and it was maybe 50% full. And I'm giving it credit for being 50% full. And I had a guy sit right next to me in the middle row.
God.
Right.
Who wants the middle seat?
To me. Move over. Sit in the window seats. Why did you do this?
Did he move over?
Why didn't you move?
Yeah. Did he move over after?
Oh, yeah. No, there was no more aisle seats left.
So did he? Because I'm wondering if he was playing the seat lottery, figuring if he was sitting beside you, nobody would take the window seat. And then he moved over.
But it didn't work because then when the plane took off, he didn't move over and take the window seat. He sat in the middle seat for the whole entire flight.
That's not okay.
Who picked the middle seat?
And even the flight attendant was like, she was giving me those eyes like, girl? Like, what is...
That's all the way by the bathrooms.
Yeah, that's like a very undesirable place to be.
Wow.
It's a very undesirable place to be. That's why I always pick it, because...
Did he, like, fall asleep and lean on you?
No, but I had that happen. I've had somebody fall asleep on me.
That's, you know what?
Those seats way in the back, because the drone of the engines would put the kids out in nothing flat.
Well, those are the seats that they sort of reserve for families who don't get seats together. They'll put them back there. So, they're also deadhead seats, but they'll put kids back there.
Deadhead seats.
For the first crew, if they have to move people around or, standby folks. So let's talk, since we brought up the bathrooms, let's talk about smells.
Oh my God.
We'll come right to it. Because there's a lot of things on here about smells.
There was a video of somebody, I think I saw it on Twitter or something, where this woman was taking a selfie and the look on her face was like, oh my God. And there was a foot right behind her. Like someone had taken their shoes off and put their feet up on the seat and she was like, what?
I want to know if the same people who are complaining about having to take their shoes off going through security are the ones who just can't wait to get their shoes off when they get on the plane.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
That would be an interesting study.
I only take my shoes off on long, long, long flights because of swelling. So I do take my shoes off, but I bring a clean pair of socks and I change everything out as soon as I do take off my shoes.
Really?
I believe that you are very cognizant about your personal hygiene, and that's probably not an issue. But some people, I've had long travel days where you smell, you are in the bath. I'm in the bathroom. Like, am I going to scare my seatmate? Mm-hmm. You know, putting deodorant on, and some people kind of forget.
Yeah, they don't catch. They don't notice. Yeah. They're used to the smell.
They were out last night eating garlic all night.
I bet someone paint their fingernails next to me.
Oh, gosh.
That's awful.
Well, and that's the thing, you know.
It's a plane.
Yeah, fingernail paint, what is it called?
Polish.
It's not that bad in a large room, but you can still smell it. But on a pleasant thing, it's like, think about what that is in a very small enclosed area.
Yeah.
That's, you know, another one here on Lindsay's list, which is one of my favorites, is excessive farting. If you're super gassy, there have been times where I've gotten off of a plane and I have felt like I must smell like a big walking fart. Because that's all.
Yes, because you're like smell.
Yes, it's like, hours. It feels like it's like soaked into my clothes.
That arrow was in someone's butt and now it's all over
I know! And it's just sticking to me.
To their defense, sometimes you just can't. That's one of those things. It's a bodily function.
It's true.
Okay, so I get it. Sometimes you can't, but you can get up and go to the bathroom.
You know, that is true.
That's true.
Although, I will say, if you are sitting next to me in the window seat and you need to go to the bathroom 6 times on a 2-hour flight, I'm probably going to ask for a doctor's note.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I don't like window seats because I do not like having to step over people to go to the bathroom. And I actually go very rarely, but I am so on a plane, that is. I go just as often as anybody else.
I can't even believe how many people don't go at the airport. Like, you get on the plane and they're like bum rushing the bathroom on the plane to go. And the stewardess is like, you can't use a lavatory yet. And they're like, I really gotta go. Why didn't you go before you got on the plane?
Now, of course, there are other people who just ran for the gate. So, but yeah, usually
there's people that Elizabeth wouldn't let in front of her line.
They should have peed before they left, too.
Don't drink so much water. You know you're getting
off. But they're the ones that were in seaboarding group and are standing there waiting when the A's are called.
Yes, exactly.
That's the perfect time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. They all this time just skip a bunch of lines, but they can't go stand in line at the bathroom. Exactly. I was in a really long line in the women's bathroom once, and I forget what airport it was, but I got the dirtiest looks from all the women behind me because there was a woman who came in with her little girl, and her little girl was doing that I'm going to piss my pants dance. Mm-hmm. Like, she had to go now. She had to go 15 minutes ago. She had tears welling up in her eyes. Aww. I let her cut me in line, and you would think, like, the old lady behind me, you would think that I just committed the worst sin. The man. She, just the way she's like, angry.
Yeah.
That's every sign of disapproval.
It's funny because kids used to be really high on my list of pet peeves. And of course that's changed because now I have children and I've been in that position and I've seen it. And I mean, we've been in the place where I'm like, do you need to go to the bathroom? Do you need to go to the bathroom? Do you need to go to the bathroom? Nope, nope, nope. And then, you know, we're starting our descent and the light comes on and Marcus goes, I gotta pee. I'm like, really? Really? Because we've been on this plane for 3 hours and now you have to go.
Yeah, so the kids get a pass on that for me. And then the other thing is, I've given up seats that I've paid extra money for families to sit together.
That's really nice of you.
That is very nice of you.
Sit together. And in hindsight, you know, when I'm sitting in the middle seat, when I've paid for, like, a kind of
people,
sitting in the middle seat, I'm like, this is crap. Why did I do that?
Yeah.
Do you give your seat up?
I would. I haven't had to yet. And I've had people give up their seat for me, so I absolutely would. But I have not been in a situation where I've been asked.
You know, that is one of those things that if you have not been in the situation, or you don't know, because I have known people who flew with kids who didn't really realize that it wasn't just a given that they would get to sit with their kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and then I understand why people who've paid for an upgrade don't want to switch that seat. But then nobody really wants to be sitting beside a 5-year-old who doesn't know anybody and their mom's not even near them. You know, so that goes so many ways. Yeah.
In hindsight, well, there was no way I wasn't going to do it because I wanted the kid to be able to sit with their parent. But in hindsight, I probably should have gone to the airline and been like, look, I need my refund for my...
Yeah, I would probably, if I'd paid extra for the seat, I would switch, you know, with a family who also had paid extra for their seats and I just needed a different position.
Or get the person behind to come up or I don't know. And honestly, my kids... my oldest kid was so chatty that I don't think anyone would have wanted to get stuck with him because he would have talked the whole flight no matter how long the flight was.
Yeah.
And he did.
See, that's why we always
can't imagine where he got
it. It was a lot easier to find two seats together than it would be to find four.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Speaking of chattiness on a plane, how do you feel about that? Like, because I'm a talkative person, but when I'm putting my earbuds in, and then I got to take it out, and then I got to put it back in, and then I got
to. I was listening to Ready Player One when I got on the plane to Ireland, and I was at like the second to last chapter or whatever. It was getting really, really good, and I had the headphones in, and the lady beside me just kept tapping me on the shoulder. I'm sorry, and then she would say I'm sorry, and then she'd tell me something that I totally didn't need to know, and I'm like, can I just finish this? Yeah. Seriously, like the world's about to end. I really need to hear the end of this book. And once I was done, I talked to her, but it was like, I was in this book.
So I'm probably, I don't think either of these people listen to this podcast, but I have a friend and I have another friend, and we all ended up on a Southwest flight coming back from Florida and didn't really know that we were all going to be on this. Two of us knew, but then like we saw this other friend, and the third one that we didn't know is very, very chatty. And so we were sitting, I was in the window, the chatty one was in the aisle, and my other friend was in the middle, and she pretended like she was asleep the whole time. So then she didn't have to talk to the other one, but it didn't stop the other woman from talking to me the whole time. Yeah, good times, good times. And it was funny, too. This is another pet peeve, not for me so much, although kind of, but, you know, I have had two friends now that have really reacted to this, and I think it's funny. They're big time germaphobes, and if they sit by someone who's having a coughing fit or coughing the whole flight, they just like lean forward and forward and forward. Or like one of my friends was on the chatty one, actually, on a different flight, was almost on me because she was trying to get away from the woman beside her who was coughing. I'm like, it doesn't matter how far you lean.
I have caught myself walking through the airport. And when, like, a little old man was coughing, I, like, flew to the other side of the aisle.
You're in a tube! Like, it doesn't matter!
Yeah, I generally, I don't
sweet little old man's germs.
I have never understood people who like network on planes and who get to know people on planes, and I hear it all the time, and it makes me crazy. And I don't even want to hear the chatty person behind me talking to the poor person who was unfortunate enough to sit with them. You know, it's like there should be no chatting. Yeah. There really should be no chatting on the plane. But that's I'm an introvert too.
You are so stressed by the time you get on the plane. If you think about like how stressful travel is and the time and you're hauling all your crap and you gotta do all the stuff and you get on there and you just want to sit down, and that's my only antisocial time in my life. I'm a chatty Kathy. I'll talk to you anywhere, but I'm on that plane, I want to read my book, I want to watch my movie that I'm paying $8 for or whatever. and I don't want the guy next to me to sit on me or fart on me or walk my ear off.
Hands spread.
Just want to enjoy my flight. And I don't want your little kid running up and down the aisle trying to play with my drink.
Yeah. Yeah. That gets back to the whole sitting together thing too, because I actually was on a flight back from Newark, which is what, an hour to here? Like an hour. And I'd gotten an upgrade to first class for that whole hour. And I sit down in my seat, and then there's a conversation going on beside me, and this lady is asking the gentleman next to her if he would switch with her husband so she could sit next to her husband in first class. And I'm like, it's an hour. And this guy was like, well, I really wanted a window seat because it would have put him in an aisle seat. He's like, I really wanted a window seat. And she's like, oh, okay, well, that's all right. And he ended up moving, and I'm like, why are you asking? I mean, you live with this guy. You're going to see him like all night long.
I've had like honeymoon couples
taking advantage of that situation to get into first class.
They were all in first class. They were all in first class.
I've had people though where one.
Yeah,
of the
they
people,
were all in first class.
I've had couples where one was scared of flying or had like some kind of anxiety, and they really wanted to.
All right, I didn't think about that. Although it really did not, she did not seem in any way nervous.
Well,
if you're
going
to be that way, then you need to at least outwardly show your anxiety.
He needs to be like shaking and waving for more food,
doing the rosary, like you're walking down the aisle.
It just, you know, it's like if it were a 3-hour flight, okay, but, you know, it really is just a short little flight, and you've got this big old seat, and you're going to have all the alcohol you want to drink and a nice little snack.
You only have so much time on an hour flight.
Yeah, I mean, so just by yourself, you know, it's really not that big a deal.
How about the people on flights who think the flight attendant is there to be their personal chatty person?
Oh, my God. Oh,
the poor flight attendant.
Did you ring the bell because you need attention?
Yeah. That's another thing. Along with TSA, be nice to the flight attendants. They have a lot of power.
Lot of power over you that you don't even know about. Yeah.
So I have never, I mean, I can't even count how many times I've flown. I have never, ever, ever pushed the call button. I think if somebody died or had a heart attack or was in physical distress, I would push the call button.
And then you would apologize profusely.
Yeah. And then I would apologize profusely for advancing somebody.
Does anyone know CPR?
I have sat next to that person that pushed the call button every 15 minutes it was Garcon. waiter, can I have a this or that, or for not even for things that they necessarily needed that second. They could have waited until the person walked by them. Or what about the people who get up in the aisle after they've started the service?
Yeah.
Because then they got to back the card up, and you can inconvenience this poor person who's trying to do their job in the tightest, cramped little space
and
in the world.
And you're slowing down the drink service for the rest of us.
I'm just about to give away that I spent too much of my life in the South, because I heard them say, what about those people who get up after they start the service? And I instantly thought, they have church on the plane.
They should have church.
Drink service.
That's in the plane. People are getting up.
They were moved.
Okay,
so what about... Where do you put your bag when you get on a plane?
Most of the time, I just have stuff that goes under my seat. I don't even use the overhead, unless I specifically am only using carry-on.
If you have to use the overhead space, where do you use the overhead space?
Above your head.
Above your seat, that's right.
Unless you are one of those late people in the last boarding group, and half the bins are already shut, then you put it wherever you can find a spot.
Because they tell you to do that. Yeah.
If you're in the first 50 people getting on the plane, and you're in row 30, and you're putting your bag in row 6...
Who does that? Wow, I want my bag near me.
Oh, they do. I've seen people do it.
And your bag goes wheels out.
That can be different depending on the new planes now.
Well, it doesn't go sideways. That's what I'm saying. It does not go sideways.
There's some newer planes.
It doesn't go sideways with your coat stashed next to it.
And your coat is not
available.
Your coat does not go up there. If your coat is there, I'm squishing it.
I was on a plane recently where mine would not fit with the wheels out, and it had to go sideways somewhere. And I forget what kind of plane it was where I was going.
Are you sure it fit in the little bin outside?
Yeah, it's my carry-on I take all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. It's fine.
I'm mad at Sandy.
San Diego for connection. Coming back from that, a guy got on the plane who was later on the plane, and the bin above his head was almost all full, and he tried to put his bag up there, and it wouldn't fit, and he tried to push it down, and the stewardess came by and said, we're going to have to check that, and he said, no, I can do it, and he put it up there and snatched it so hard the whole front door came off.
Oh, nice.
And so we sat on the sat in the jetway or whatever for an hour and 28 minutes. And then they finally came and they put like special tape up. They covered that whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and it had to be air inspected by air traffic marshals. And then we could leave.
You know, I actually am envisioning
The whole point was feeling love for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds like the makings of an Agatha Christie novel where the rest of the time you figure out who killed the guy. Because everybody wanted to. He ended up dead in the bathroom. How did that happen?
Well, he kept saying, it's not like we didn't have a right to put my luggage by my seat. It's not like I didn't have a right.
Yeah, that's not really a right.
Yeah. rights, and then we
see. So I'm pretty sure there's nothing about luggage in the U.S. Constitution. I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
Almost
positive. They can check your crap whenever they want.
Whenever they want.
So I have a confession. I have been that person before where, remember one time, well, okay, so in my defense, we were on the way to Vegas and we had free drink coupons. So, it was the first connection. Well, okay, so I had my little tray down and I was talking with my hands a lot, and I kept banging the tray because I was so animated, and the woman in front of me just turned around, and her head came up over the seat so slow to look at me, and I was like, I'm sorry, am I being too loud? And she's like, you are moving my entire seat. I was like, oh, I'm that annoying child who's like kicking the seat. You're like,
Mind you, this is also the same woman who, on a trip to Orlando, dumped an entire cup of coffee in her friend's lap. Because, not me, fortunately. That's why I'm still speaking to Sandy, but yeah, it was pretty miserable. Oh, hot coffee.
I know, we were all bragging about how little clothes we had packed for this, like, short trip. My lips, so if you have more pants.
Meanwhile, Brandy's like, third degree burns! Ow!
We're like, dang, there was Bailey's in that.
Oh, man, we're cackling. Okay. So we should talk actually about getting tipsy, because that is probably the biggest problem.
Yeah.
It contributes to the chattiness. It contributes to frequent bathroom trips. All these things that we've talked about.
God, you're right.
Yes. And it's people who throw back way too many airplane bottles. Literally. Mm.
Being loud and being rude, yes.
Yeah.
I have had little empty airplane booze bottles launched at me for an entire flight to Ireland, and it was not fun. I don't know if this lady thought she was drinking in her car and she was strolling in her back seat or what.
Which is problematic also.
Yeah, that's not good either.
That's when you said politely threw him back over the other side.
Yeah. I don't know. I was young and I was just happy to be going to Ireland. And I don't know. I was in that high of like, I'm going somewhere.
Oh, well, you dropped this in my life.
So I'm going to drop it on your head.
Now that was like 23-year-old Lindsay. Now 39-year-old Lindsay would have probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tossed it right back.
So you throw another one, it better be full.
Let's talk about like hygiene things. Like people who, in their seats, get out their brushes and start brushing their hair and filing their nails and putting on cologne and that kind of stuff.
Well, cologne gets back to the whole stinky thing. There's no place for that on a plane. You do not need to be applying that right before you get in a very closed tube.
Yeah, I don't need your Axe body spray in a closed, enclosed area.
It's really overpowering. I honestly would, in many cases, personally choose body odor over that, because body odor will not make my eyes water for the 3-hour flight.
And body odor, some people can't control. It's just, it is what it is, but you can completely control the fumes that you subject everyone.
How about like brushing their hair, right? Like in your drinks and that kind of stuff.
I haven't had this happen to me. Well,
clipping their toenails. It didn't happen to me, but I have tried.
I did it because that's the only place I could get my daughter to sit still long enough for me to
Donna!
Oh, you clipped her
hair? You're part of the problem.
I brushed hair.
Okay.
I brushed my daughter's hair because she was strapped car seat and couldn't move.
But you probably, so was she, was there somebody on the other side of her, or was she on the window and you were in the middle?
She would have been in the window and then I was in the middle.
So there's nobody right next to her. I think that's okay.
No.
Yeah. When it's a small child and there's,
and
you're shielding. Yeah, you're shielding.
You get a lot of passes with kids for this stuff because kids can't control their, they haven't really formed.
I don't know. Some people don't give passes to kids. Some people get very irritated with kids.
There was a viral photo that went around about with a woman who had put like her long, long hair, like it was probably down to her backside, over the back of her chair. And that also, first of all, why would you do that? Because you don't know what the person behind you is going to actually do with your hair. Like,
they could cut it.
They could cut it. Like, anything could happen. You basically, that is so completely without thought to what exactly you're doing.
And but how creeped out would she have been if somebody was just playing with her
hair? Yeah, really.
And honestly, I might have been tempted to do it or just start pulling it every once in a while. And what if it had been a kid? You know that a toddler would have reached on that and started swinging on it. Mm. I mean, why would you do that to yourself? But I've had the ponytail over the chair before. I've never had the long flowing locks, but definitely people not, you know, sort of thinking that they're in their car and forgetting that there's someone.
I've had the hair over the seat. It, yeah, basically, I think they think they're in their car and it goes over your TV screen.
Yeah.
Not cord
it like a little curtain.
I've also had that happen on Expedition Everest in Animal Kingdom. Oh. Somebody put their hair above the seat, like hanging in front of your face and on the ride.
I've actually had people brush their hair. I've had people flip their hair and hit me with it, but I've never had anybody brush their hair beside me.
All of you guys are parents. How do you feel about people who bring, like, these, I don't know what they're called, but let's just call it tablets now. Tablets are those, you know, like, Game Boy things, and their kids don't have the headphones.
No.
No, that would never fly in my house.
Nope. Because it would annoy me.
They have headphones, or they do not play.
Yeah, it would annoy me, so I would never, but it does annoy me, and I hear it in airports all the time.
Yeah.
So, I have to say that now, having had the experience recently of being on a flight where somebody's child ran up and down the aisles and was like playing with my alcoholic beverage on my tray table and touching my everything, I would have bought that child a tablet. Yeah. Had it been an option.
Not so much having it, but it's just like the kids, you know. They've got a favorite song, and they're watching it over and over. They're playing some game, and there's, like, shooting and banging, and there's no headphones.
And you know what? Adults do. On my last flight, saw two people FaceTiming in the airport. And loudly, you know, hey, how you doing? I miss you so much. And it's like, I don't need to hear that conversation. Like, don't put them on speakerphone, and certainly don't put their face up.
On my last flight to Orlando around cheerleading time, I got off the plane and went in to use the women's restroom, and there was a group of cheerleaders FaceTiming a guy in the women's bathroom with the camera for the guy facing, like, the stalls for the women's bathroom.
Stupid.
Nope.
Bad.
Kill. I did.
No.
All right, I think we should end on something positive.
Okay. What can we end on?
I don't know. I just throwing it out there.
One of my best tips that I give all families is take the car seat with you. It doesn't cost anything to bring it with you, whether you check it or whether you actually bring it on the plane. It doesn't cost anything because it's a piece of safety equipment. If you do bring it on the plane, they're strapped in, they're comfortable, they're used to being in the car seat, so they're usually calmer than if they were sitting in a seat, mm-hmm. and they're a 2-year-old and they've never been in a real seat before. Mm-hmm. And then that's one of the best tips I can give is bring the car seat.
Mm-hmm. I think that airports should take, like, caution tape and place it 2 feet back behind the baggage claim belt. And everybody has to stand behind that line until they see their bag.
I did have a mom, I think I was coming back to Nashville at Thanksgiving, and I was seated next to her, like, 8-year-old, and she had, like, 6 or 8 little baggies, and in them were, like, a little package of M&Ms, and some hard candy, and a note from her that said, I know it's the holidays and it's stressful, thank you for being kind to my child, or whatever.
Aww.
And she gave that to, like, all, you know, anybody who was sitting with her family near, she had like 5 or 6 of them in those 2 rows. Each of us got that little bag, you know, hand washing thing. You know, that kind of thing was endeared me to
That's
classy. It's nice, but at the same time, I have mixed feelings about that because I don't think we should have to bribe other people to be okay with our children being children. I'm willing to bet that he would have been nice anyway without the bribe. So, yeah, for sure.
The whole purpose of this wasn't to be naggy or complainy about, although it is fun to at the airport or at the airplane, but was to kind of maybe bring awareness, because I bet you that there's somebody who's going to listen to this at some point in time who didn't know. Oh, we didn't talk about who gets the armrest when you're in the middle seat.
Well, the person in the middle seat
because the person in the middle seat gets the armrest. People don't realize that that they're even, you know, kind of might be unaware that they're breaking those little etiquette rules, unspoken.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. All right, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Flyaway. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Laura, Donna, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!